love baptism. It is so exciting. People declaring by faith, I'm all in. I'm with Jesus. Jesus is with me. And when you're with Jesus, well, that means that we are together. And that's the series that we've been in all this summer. We've been talking about what it means for us to be in it together. Together, love one another. Throughout 2020, we experienced so much time where we were not together. We had social distancing. We had isolation. We had disconnection, and we felt it. Did we not? We felt it. We understand more true today what God was speaking back at the very beginning when he said, it is just not good for you to be alone. And we experienced that over that last year. And that's why Jesus calls us together. You know, I'm kind of in a unique place in my life right now. Right now, one of my primary things that I'm doing is caring for my aging parents. My mom is 93. My dad, soon to be 91. They have been married 71 years. And how about that? On cue, there's my mom calling. I kid you not. It's all right. It'll happen over and over again for a little bit here. But I tell you, both of them struggle with dementia. They struggle with Alzheimer's. But what a privilege it is to care for them. And you know what? Our goal has become so clear. There's just one thing that we can do. We're trying to get them just as many days together as they can get together. You know, there's much they've lost. There's a lot we can't change. But our focus is absolutely clear. Keep them together as best we can, because together matters. Together matters in your life as well as in my life. And as simple as it may sound, togetherness, it's really not always very easy. So we've been unpacking this question all summer long. What does it take for us to be together? What does it take? Because togetherness, biblical togetherness, love one another togetherness, requires all these things that we've been talking about. It takes time. You've got to invest time in each other. It takes focus. Focus is where you say, I see you and I'm for you. It takes respect, where we honor one another. It takes gratitude. Listen, does anything bless your heart more when someone genuinely appreciates what it is that you have done in their life and they express that? The next thing we talked about was serve. You just got to serve. Service is critical for demonstrating I am for you. And by the way, let me just take a quick pause to say a special thank you to all of you who have indicated a desire to serve in new ways. The Yes Board out in the Commons is still available. We encourage you to stop by, find your place of service. We all need to serve one another. And so I want to encourage you to join us in the work that God is doing. It takes all of us together. And then last week we talked about trust. Trust is absolutely essential to your relationship with Jesus Christ. But trust is also vital in every organization or church that you're a part of. Have you ever been in an organization where leadership didn't trust the workers, or the workers didn't trust the leadership, or in a church where the people and the leadership get crosswise? Man, it becomes difficult and overbearing in your life. But trust is vital in every single relationship that you have. There is not one relationship that does not thrive on the importance of trust. And today we're going to wrap it all up with one last together key, and this together key is the word stay. To be together, you got to stay. You stick with it. It's true in marriage, in families, in friendships, in the church. You stay. You hang in there. You put in the work day in and day out, and it makes all the difference. And Jesus is the one who's going to show us the example of that. So open your Bibles up to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. Now, as you're looking for that, let me take a minute to introduce myself. If we've not yet met, my name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. And if we've not had a chance to know each other, I'm going to be out in the Next Steps area after this service. And man, I would count it an honor if you would come up and introduce yourself to me. Now, one of the things you hear say all the time around here is that leadership is partnership. And that's true. And God has assembled an incredible team here. And one of the keys to a healthy team, one of the keys to healthy leadership is the very thing that we're talking about today. The importance of you stay, you stick together, you recognize we are in this together. And that becomes a high value. And we want you in it together with us as well. That's why every week, we take just a second to ask you to complete a connect card. Now, I know it's a little thing. Sometimes you wonder, does this really matter? Do we really need to fill this thing out? I want to say to you, yes, it matters, because this is how we connect. So if you haven't done so already, you can scan the QR code. Or if you got the text this morning, you can open the text from New Work Fellowship Ministry platform and you can access it there, or the email. We try to make this as easy for you as possible. But what we're saying is we want you to fill out that digital connect card and submit it. And listen, when you do that, if it's your first time or your second time to do so, something happens. We bless a local ministry partner with an additional $10 gift. Now, we have been doing that now as of this Sunday for 1 year, and so I thought this would be a good day to show you what you've already done in that year. In addition to the mission gifts that we give out through the church, in this past year, we have also given out an additional $5,860 for all of you that filled it out for the first time or the second time, and I think that's something to celebrate. I tell you all the time, when you give to New Work Fellowship, you're giving through New Work Fellowship. We are to be a conduit that God uses to bless others, so we want to encourage you to fill that out. So now let's shift our attention to the scriptures, and as we do so, let me remind you, this is God's word for your life. These are the most important words you're going to hear today when we open God's word, because he has a word for you. So this passage that we're about to read, let me set the context. It's the night before the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus and his 12 followers, the apostles, are about to be parted. And Jesus uses this one last night to talk to them about how he is still with them. That he's not going to leave them no matter what they're going through. So these are his words to them and through them to you. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. And when I am raised up to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. To be together, you have to stay. It's the wisdom of Proverbs that says a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Now, I find it very ironic that on the very last night of being together, Jesus actually talks about his leaving in the language of staying. He's leaving, but he talks to them about staying. So what does it take to stay? Well, the first thing is this. You need to pick your place. You need to pick your place. Here they are gathered in the upper room together, and Jesus demonstrates this stick-to-it commitment with the disciples. They've been together for 3 years, but that very night they're about to part ways. He's going to die the very next day. But to the very end, he's talking to them about what it is that draws them together. And he starts in verse 15, right where we read, "If you love me, obey my commandments. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you another advocate who will never leave you." The point is that Jesus makes is, I'm not going to abandon you. You're not alone. I'm going to make sure that everything continues, that I am all in with you. You see, Jesus was all about togetherness. In fact, he had already taught them a long time ago how important this idea of togetherness was within their group. Back in Matthew, Jesus said, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." In other words, I'm in. I stick. I'm right here. I will stay. I picked the place. I've picked you, and I am with you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more in a little bit what this phrase, another advocate, means. But for now, I just want you to listen to the phrases that Jesus used as he talked about going away. He said, "I'm never going to leave you." A few sentences down, he said, "I will not abandon you." And then a couple more verses, "I am in you." Jesus is saying, even when everything around you is changing, even when you look all around you and you don't see me, you need to understand this is never changing. I am with you. I am for you. I choose you. And what I want you to hear today is the same Jesus that was speaking to them on that night is speaking to you today. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're enduring, I want you to hear the voice of what he's saying. I am with you. I am for you. I choose you. This is a call to stick with it, a commitment that I'm all in. And Jesus is all in for you. He is with you. But that begs the question, are you all in with him? Have you made that kind of commitment to him? That kind of commitment and devotion is what makes all the difference. Listen, it is a long time ago, but it was in a place not unlike this. It was a stage not unlike this at all, where Diana and I stood before our friends and family, and we made a commitment and we expressed vows to each other. But how do you think that wedding would have gone if my vow to her was something like this? "And I promise, dear, to be faithful to you a good 90% of the time." I can tell you how it would have gone. That wedding would have ended with funeral, and it would have been mine. And they wouldn't have been saying, "Doesn't he look like himself?" You know, that kind of commitment, "I'm all in, I'm with you, I'm for you," it makes all the difference. And that's what Jesus is teaching about togetherness among his people. That's what he's talking about among us as a church. You got to pick your place, stick with it, stay together. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to travel to Colorado, and I was able to gather again with some of those dear folks that for a season in our life, about 6 years, we were in a church planting adventure in Denver. And when we go back, many times we're able to get together with them, and we fellowship with one another. And we did that again this year, and I have a picture of that group that came together. Man, it's so good to see these folks. Now, there's one face in that group that I wanted to draw to your attention. His name is Dana Vernon. And Dana and I had lost touch. He is a gifted guitarist, incredible, but somehow we lost connection. And it was so good to see Dana and his daughter Dallas. Now, I want you to just pay attention to the t-shirt that he is wearing, because he did this intentionally. Because the next picture is the day that I baptized Dana, and he's wearing the exact same shirt. He did that on purpose. Listen, in Colorado, we baptize a little different. We do it in hot tubs. But I tell you, it's all good. It's all good. I also had the opportunity to be there with Dana when he first put his faith in Jesus Christ. I was sitting at his kitchen table. We talked about what the Lord has done and how he's made a way of salvation. But every one of us has to come to that place. Are we going to cross the line? Are we going to accept what Jesus did for us? Are we going to commit ourselves? He's all in for me, but am I all in for him? And Dana told me that day, he said, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to cross the line of faith. And so I asked him, so Dana, do you want me to pray and you repeat after me, or you just want to talk to God and you pray? You can do it that way. He said, no, I don't want to repeat. I just want to pray. And let me tell you, it was one of the most beautiful prayers of conversion that I've ever heard in my life. He said, Jesus. And then he just burst into tears and just sobbed and cried. And then as soon as he could get his breath, all he could say is, I'm all in, I'm all in, I'm all yours. It's beautiful. You know, the reason that I was able to reconnect with Dana this trip is because a few months ago, another lady that was in that group shot that you saw earlier was attending another church, and it just so happened that on that Sunday, they were recognizing Dana Verdon for 15 years of playing in their worship team. We'd lost touch, but that reconnected us. But you know what? Even all those years of not seeing each other, we were still in it together. We were still working side by side. We were still doing the same things. And so that just happened to occur. Same place. Listen, you got to pick your place. Are you all in? Jesus said, I choose you. I choose you. What about you? Will you pick your place? So first of all, you pick your place. These are my people. I'm Jesus' people. Secondly, you got to show some grace. If you're going to stay, you're going to have to show some grace. Listen, we can so sanitize these Bible stories, can't we? Jesus there the night before he dies, and he's gathered around with all his friends, and everything looks so rosy and cozy. But when you read this, you need to remember who those people were. You need to remember who the people were that were sitting at the table that he's talking about. I'm with you. I'm going away, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here. I'm right here for you. Remember who those people are. The night before Jesus died, at the table, in the room, at that place, sat a man named Judas, who was already in the process of betraying him. In the room sat a man named Peter who was just about to deny him three times. And all the rest of them, they're all going to abandon him. Jesus knew that. And he looked at them and said, I choose you. I am with you. I am for you. And I will be right here beside you. What in the world does it take to be able to make that kind of a choice with those kind of flawed, broken people? I tell you one word, it's called grace. That's what it takes. It takes grace. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. You know who wrote that, right? It's Peter. And the reason Peter wrote that is because he had experienced that. It was the grace, the love of Jesus Christ that covered his multitude of sin. He needed it, and it's all about grace. And to stay, you need to show grace. And yeah, you're going to need to receive it too. But you need to understand, you got to show it and receive it. You show grace, you extend grace, you give grace. Because here's the truth about you and me. We all need grace in our lives. I was reminded of that recently. My second grandchild is named Charlie Ann Grace Struble. She's a little low-key, you can tell, right? She's all about fun. Her middle name is Grace, and this was Charlie Ann on a recent Sunday getting ready to go to church. She's going to come in style now. So Allison, my daughter, Charlie Ann's mom, is working with the kids, learning their names, how to read their names, to recognize their names, to write out their names. And so she had this little time with Charlie Ann where she wrote on a piece of paper, and she wrote out Charlie Ann Struble. And then she shows the piece of paper to Charlie Ann, and she said, what does this say? And Charlie Ann looks at it, and she says, it says Charlie Ann Grace. And Allison said, no, it says Charlie Ann Struble. Struble is your last name? And then Charlie Ann so wisely replies, she says, oh, that's right. It's Charlie Ann Grace when I'm in trouble. Anybody else learn that your middle name means you're in trouble? I when Mom got to the middle names, I knew it's on. And let me just say, I'm pretty sure this preschooler going on teenager is going to need plenty of grace for the journey that is ahead. But don't you? Don't we all? Don't we all need grace when we're in trouble? What about the people in your life? Don't they need grace? When they make bad decisions, when they fall, when they fail, when they let you down, don't they need grace? Listen, that is precisely what Jesus was doing the night before he went to the cross. The very night before he became the very embodiment of God's grace on a cross, he was extending and showing grace to his disciples, saying, I'm with you. I choose you. I'm together here for you. And he says, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In order to stay, you got to give grace and get grace. So you pick your place. That's when you say, look, I'm with you. I'm all in. You show some grace. You need it, and so does everybody else around it. And then the third thing you do is this. You got to match the pace. You got to match the pace. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, Jesus says, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, when we read that, we know Jesus is talking about the resurrection here. But they're not quite fully aware of everything that is about to transpire. Jesus has told them, but they don't quite have it yet. But the message couldn't be any clearer. What Jesus is saying is we're sticking together. There is this willingness that he is manifesting to keep pace with one another. He's saying, look, it's you and it's me, it's the Father, it's the Advocate, and we are all in this together. We are all in step. We are all in sync with each other. It's very much the picture that is painted in Psalms 133 that says this, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. That feeling of just being one with each other. It's the very thing the Apostle Paul pleaded for the church in Philippians chapter 2:2 when he said, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with one another and working together with one mind and purpose. You match the pace of each other. You stay in sync with each other. You stay in step with each other. So let me ask you, husbands, are you keeping the pace with your wife? Wives, are you staying in step with your husbands? What about the other relationships in your life? Are you in sync with each other? Listen, there's really nothing quite like a team that works as one. They think as one. They move as one. They act as one. And that is the beautiful picture that is to exist in the church, where we are one. We need one another. We are committed to one another. You need us, and we need you, and we do this together. But listen, we got to always remember, there are others out there that don't have what we have together, and they need us. And that's why it's so important that we have days like Friend Day, where we encourage you and do our best to make it easy for you to invite the people that God has placed you among, to draw them in, to invite them to come, to take them out to lunch, to offer to pick them up, whatever it takes, bring them in so that they have the opportunity to connect together, because they need it just like you need it. So listen, in your seat when you came in today, there's some of these invite cards. Let me encourage you to pick up a handful of these before you leave, and all week long you be inviting people. It's like the parable that Jesus told about the one that went out and just began scattering seed everywhere. Remember, it was on the path, it was in the rocks. You look at it and go, what in the world is this guy doing? You just scatter the seed indiscriminately and let God work in people's lives. So invite them in together. Someone is waiting on you. And we need to invite them in so they can find Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, shift gears here. Anybody been watching the Olympics? Isn't it amazing to see how these athletes who are conditioned and disciplined and have worked so hard and are at the highest level of human performance can function? Isn't it amazing to watch that? I saw someone this week post on Facebook, I think we should make an average person compete in every event so that we can just see how good they really are. I thought, I kind of like that. You're aware of the Paralympics, right? Same concept. Performing at the highest level of capabilities in spite of personal disabilities and limitations. Recently, somebody sent me a video of a Paralympic event that I didn't even know existed. Blind sprinters. Can't see. But they get in the blocks, just like any other athlete. The gun goes off. They explode out of the blocks. They run as fast as they can, but they can't see where they're going. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, well, there's a disaster waiting to happen. Unless you have a guide. And I want you to watch this video. It's a video of championship sprinter, blind sprinter David Brown, along with his guide, Jeremy Avery. Watch how they do this.
David Brown, the reigning world champion, goes in lane three alongside Jerome Avery, former international sprinter for the United States.
I ran with him our first practice. Coach immediately said, "You're going to run with him after me." And, you know, the rest has been history.
Here you go. Drive. Stay in tight.
Running with Jerome, I don't have to worry about going out too far. All I have to focus on is just listening to him.
Get up. Nice.
Arm action should be exact. We should be hitting the ground at the same time.
This time, they're away, and Brown gets away very, very well indeed.
You see his run with like one person?
It should look like one person running.
That's the
That tracking side on camera is magic to watch because it just shows that they were running almost like one person.
I had no idea. I'd never seen anything like that before. It's amazing. He races by matching the exact pace of his guide. Did you see him when he's running? And he leans over so that he can hear his guide as he pushes him, as he challenges him, as he motivates him. They stay side by side right up until the very end, And then just before they cross the line, before the sprinter crosses the line and gets the glory, his guy just backs off a little so he gets to go across all by himself and get the cheers and the accolades. Going full out. Let me ask you a question about stay. Do you do that for the people in your life? Are you beside them? Are you with them? Are you cheering them on? Are you encouraging them? Are you staying in pace so that you get there to the finish line together? That's what it takes to stay. And let me tell you something else about that video. You want to understand what they're talking about with this whole idea of this advocate that they were talking about there in verse 16? You just got a really good picture of what God has done for you. Jesus said in verse 16, "And I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another advocate who will never leave you." In the Greek, that word translated advocate is the word parakletos, and Jesus uses that word four times in this discussion about the Holy Spirit. It was actually a legal term. It meant somebody who is called alongside. So think of a lawyer, although a little different in that world. It was somebody who stood with you because they were to defend you. They were to give you wise counsel. They were to be there to support and to strengthen you. And what Jesus was telling his followers then and is telling us through them today is this. Listen, even when you don't see Jesus, you need to know he's right there beside you, keeping pace with you, coaching you, defending you, speaking into you, and supporting you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, keeping pace and drawing you forward. But I want you to notice this. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you an advocate, did he? Look at what he said. I'm going to give you another advocate. And that's important, because what he's saying is, I'm giving you two coaches, a second one. And the word another there literally means another of the exact same kind. So who is the first advocate? We understand the second advocate is the Holy Spirit, but who is the first advocate? John tells us in his little letter called 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what he says. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, exact same word, who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So now I want you to imagine this race again. Only you're the blind sprinter. And beside you, on one side, is the Holy Spirit of God. He says, I will not leave you. I will be with you. I will be in you. I will stick with you. And he is coaching us. He is encouraging us. He is challenging us. But on the other side, you have the other advocate, who is Jesus Christ himself. And he's cheering you on. He's chosen you. He said, you are mine, I am yours, I'll never lead you. And when you sin and stumble, I got the ear of the Father, and I'm telling him, he's with me, she's with me, come on, run with me. Let me tell you today, some of you have not yet made that step of faith. You've not crossed that line. You've not prayed that prayer that Dana prayed. I'm all in. Jesus, you're all I need. Today is the day when you need to make that decision and cross that line of faith. And when you do, he is going to stay with you, for you, to the very end of the race. And that night, after Jesus sat with his disciples, he sealed this evening of togetherness with a meal, because he wanted them to remember how much he's really with them. Now, we call that meal the Lord's Supper. It's on your way in. Hopefully, you picked up one of these little packages, or if you're online, you have a minute, you can just go get something, crackers, juice out of the kitchen or whatever. We want you to celebrate with us. This is the meal of togetherness. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about being together with the Lord. And listen, I always tell people, if you belong to the Lord, you belong at his table. And if you've not yet made that decision, I would encourage you to wait. Or even better yet, pray today, Jesus Christ, I'm all in. I want a place at your table. And in a moment, we're going to take that supper together. The very best of our ability, we're going to match his pace. So the Bible tells us the way we do that is you begin by examining yourself. You prepare your hearts. Because listen, Lord knows we all need some grace, do we not? So let's spend some time with the Lord, and let me ask you to take an attitude of prayer right now and just look and listen to what the Lord would be saying to you. And while we're praying, if you don't have these elements, you take a minute, slip back of the room, pick some up. And we'll take together the supper together, because we're to do life together. All in, with grace, step by step, with both Jesus and the Holy Spirit ushering us right into the very presence of the Father. Let's pray. God, we can only say thank you. Thank you so much that you do not leave us alone, but you call us together. You invite us into relationship, not only into a relationship with you, but into a relationship with each other in your church family. And Father, I thank you right now that in this room and online, there are some who are crossing the line of faith. They're saying, I'm all in. And we rejoice with all of heaven in the decision that they're making to join together with you. Father, we thank you for your grace that covers us with such abundant love. We thank you for this supper that reminds all of us not only of all that you've done and all that you are doing, but all that you will do. And so we thank you for staying with us until until that day comes when we will stay with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.